Just bring the first presentation up.
Give me one sec. I just need to minimize the screen. So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nikita Barnes. Thank you all for joining us today. So the exact time is 4:01 p.m. and I am calling to order the May 12, 2022 hearing for the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. Present today, as of right now, is Helen Pillsbury and Sharon Cayley, Nikita Barnes, as well as Nicholas Armada, who is our staff person. So today the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to deliberations of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So first up today, we have the design review for application 22-1019 for 1930 Beacon Street. And the proposed work is new store signage. And before we hand it over to the presenter, are there any recusals from any of the commission members?
None.
Yeah. Okay, great. And again, members of the public are asked to hold your comments to the end. And I'm going to pass it over to, I believe it's Emily.
Emil.
Emil. I am so sorry. Oh my gosh, it's one of those days. But thank you so much. You can take it away.
Great. And Nikita, real quick before Emil gets started, just let the record reflect that Kirsten Hoffman has joined the meeting.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. And hi, Emil, how are you? I have your presentation here. Can everyone see the presentation?
Yes.
Great. So Emil, go ahead and kick it off and let me know if you want to change the slides, okay?
I think that everything is right there. What we're proposing, it's a mirror image of the next door signage. Exactly the same, so it looks very uniform. Channel letters on the raceway. Projection sign, same size as Emilia Tecoria. Complete everything, it looks in uniform. All the colors are trying to match the company's logo and corporate colors. The raceway is going to be painted with color similar to the background of the wall, so to be less visible. And that's all. Just three signs, a reproduction of what we have next door to us.
Great. And Emil, if you just want to explain to the commission how the channel letters will be installed into the facade, will you be using screws? What's the hardware?
Everything is under installation. If you move a little bit to the right under installation, you'll see how it's installed. The same way as next door signs are installed, the channel letters are installed on a raceway. And this raceway, it's installed with bolts into the wall. The projection sign, it's installed the same way, with bolts through the plate that holds the projection sign into the wall. And the bottom sign, it's installed with just L hooks. It's a very thin sign. It's like 1 inch thick sign, which is gonna be installed with L-shaped hooks to the wall. Exactly a reproduction of the same way as next door signage.
Terrific, thank you so much, Emil. And commissioners, just so you know, so the, this portion of the storefront is being restored. I actually was there the other day. So this will be obviously replicating what you see here over on Amelia's Taqueria, which will be the historic Gothic style transom here. So that will be look exactly as it is here. So with that, I'll transfer it over to you commissioners for any questions, comments, or concerns.
Nikita, may I just ask a question about what Nick just addressed with the re restoring the facade of the frieze, the Gothic frieze. Because originally when that was opened up and the supercuts, the false front from the supercuts was removed, half of that original frieze was still there. And then there was like a bricked over area on the other half. And I didn't have a chance to take a photo of it, but now that original segment has been removed. So I wondered if that was removed so that it could be used as a cast for the other part, or if it's actually just been removed permanently and was found not adequate to be, you know, adequate condition to be restored, or what, you know, kind of just what the status of that is.
The image, the background, it's photoshopped. I copy and paste from the next door because it's still under construction. But this is how it's gonna look like, plus minus probably 5% difference, but that's just for the visual appeal of the signage. This is what we expect to get when the background, the wall is finished. So what I did, I copy a portion of next door and use it as a background for my sign.
Yeah, I know, I understand that, but what I'm asking is what happened to the actual physical segments of the original Gothic facade frieze that was there when that supercuts facade was removed, or the kind of cover up was removed? So half of that original facade was there. It's now been removed. So that I'm asking, what happened to that? Is that being restored? Was that just removed and the whole thing is being, and was that reviewed by Nick? Or I just want to understand what happened with that.
From my knowledge, when I went for first time to the site, everything was taken down to the brick wall.
That's really not part of your domain. You were not involved with that, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the landlord has a contractor who is going to be finished the wall. And after that, I'm going to install my signs on the top of the finished wall.
Oh, okay, I understand. Thank you. So, Nick, do you know what happened to that original, those original segments?
Yeah, so I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at the last hearing when David Lapidus, who's the owner of this property, was here, I thought he had mentioned that he was going to use that as the template, the existing piece, that he would kind of use it to duplicate the missing elements. But I can certainly double check with him and circle back to see what he had.
I know that it original piece was in rough condition. It may have been found to be not feasible to continue to use it, but I just, you know, anything that original that can be kept and restored should be. And I just, you know, my obsessiveness. I'm just concerned about.
I don't think it's your obsessiveness. It's a great question, Helen. So let me circle back with David, and I can shoot you and the commission a note and find out. It doesn't seem like Amu would know this, but I can.
I understand that. This is out of his domain. His area is just the signage. So I do have one question about the signage. I realize this can be just because you're showing it's kind of a digital projection, but is the healthy eating banner, the banner below the main Gothic arches, it looks bigger in your design, you know, illustration than the Fresh Mexican Grill. But is it the same height as the one on Fresh Mexican, the Emilio's Fresh Mexican Grill?
Distortion on a photograph is
because it's
the same size as the other one.
Okay,
that's just a visual distortion from the photograph because the building is too long left to right, and I focus mostly on a portion that I'm going to apply my sign.
I just wanted to check that. You said it's the same, but I just want to check that it's the same height. In the illustration, it looks taller, but as long as it's an actual production, will be the same. That's great. Thank you.
My design is going to follow what is going to be over there as finishing.
So, yeah.
I do this for 36 years, and everything has to look perfect and visually appealing. And the feeling of the building, I have to follow the feeling of the building and the other signs. So I'm copying and reproducing exactly what is going to be over there.
Excellent. Thank you. That's all that I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
Do any of the commissioners have any more comments about the project?
No, I have none. I think Helen's covered everything that the presenter has already explained.
I'm good.
John's here.
John's here. I was just going to say that. Yep. Hey, John.
How are you, John? Awesome. So, Nick is, I feel very comfortable as well. Is it okay if I move it to public comment?
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Nick, I think you're, oh, great. Okay. One second. Just switching between windows here. Okay. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform, and we will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So public comment is now open.
Great. So I do not see any public comment here. I'm just going to check and see if everyone, maybe someone's raising their hand in their video. Sometimes that happens. Don't see that either. So we can go ahead and close the public comment portion of this application.
Excellent. So public comment is now closed. And I believe we will move to the voting portion for this application. So is there a motion from a commissioner?
I'll make a motion to accept it as presented.
I second that motion. I will now take the roll call vote. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
John?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
And Nikita, yay. Let me see, sorry, I'm switching between the windows here. Application 22-10-19 has been approved.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Emil. I'll have your approval later today as soon as we end the hearing. So thanks very much for your patience, okay?
Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
So we are now moving on to the second application. So Nick, before we move on, I just want to double check. It's 40 Mount Hood Road next, right? Because I think I'm
correct,
using
yeah.
a different version. Okay.
So 4 Chiswick was moved to, or 8 Chiswick was moved to administrative. And because I just wanted to verify that the windows were the same windows that we've approved previously. So they're now under administrative. So we go up to 40 Mount Hood.
Wonderful. So the next item is application 2211-47 for 40 Mount Hood Road. And is there any recusals from a commissioner?
No.
No. If not, I'll hand it over to the applicant.
Great. Before we do that, I just want to just brief everybody. So this is a project that came before the commission approximately in 2018. And they are now returning to the commission after their original approval expired. So they're seeking to have it approved again for an additional 2 years. That's basically it. So who's speaking on behalf of this project? Erin, is it you?
Yes, I'll be Perfect. Starting off. I can introduce the rest of the team.
Great. Do I have the right presentation?
That looks correct to me.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Over to you then.
Great. Thank you, Nick. And good afternoon, Commissioners. Erin Doherty with Epsilon. And I'm joined by John Madison, the project proponent, Fred Johnson from Cube 3, who's the project architect, and Jim Haru of Copley Wolf, who is the project's landscape architect. As Nick just mentioned, this project was previously approved by this commission, and due to some unanticipated delays, the certificate has expired. So we're before you to request a new approval, which will allow the construction of the project to move forward. As some of you will recall, the project involves the redevelopment of the existing motel on the site for a new residential building. Since the project was last reviewed, there are some aspects of the design that have been refined, but for the most part, this project on the whole remains consistent with what was previously approved. So for those of you who saw this project a few years ago, this will be pretty familiar. As was the case with the previous presentation, the project is designed to be consistent with the architectural vocabulary of the surrounding area and consistent with the district's guidelines. We did bring some additional details on some aspects of the project where more information was requested in the previous review, and that's specific to some of the landscaping treatments, the exterior materials of the new construction, and building entrances. So you'll see some additional detail there as well. Before I pass it over to Fred, John, did you want to add anything to that introduction?
Yeah, no, I just briefly, thank you all for seeing us again. But yeah, we're looking forward to, we're in a position now to be able to demo the existing motel and move forward and build the dwellings that we've been talking about in the past. Design wise, we're at 100% CDs now, so we're in a good spot to pricing and financing of the project, and ready to any comments we can definitely make on those CDs. And in landscaping, I think we took the advice that you mentioned in the past, and I think you'll see where Copperleaf Wolf has really improved on the landscaping here. But I'll pass it off to Fred and at Cube 3 and let him go through the project.
Great, John. Thanks. Thank you to the commission as well. My name is Fred Johnson from Cube 3. We're architects. We've been working through with John and his design team. As they both have mentioned, we're really here to demonstrate how through the schematic design process, which is where we were in the original approval, through the construction documentation that, for the most part, we haven't changed on a whole away from the approved design in general. This here is, we chose this, it explains a good manner of the two different kind of sides of this project that we have. To the left, we have the neighborhood feel with the lower scale. And up to the right is along Commonwealth Ave. If you go to the next slide, please. And you can see here that along Commonwealth we have larger buildings in the 4 and 5 story range, including both the Aberdeen, which is directly adjacent to us, and several other adjacent apartment complexes. Down Mount Hood to the south, we have the 3 and 4 story brick apartment buildings, the charming small scale neighborhood feel that we're really trying to be mindful of these differences and actually transition through our property and through our project as we make that move from, more lively Commonwealth Avenue to the neighborhood district. Next. It's just an existing site plan, just showing the three buildings that the motel complex is. And let me take this opportunity here. You can see the grading of the site, which we've, had to battle with along the way. It's nearly 20 feet of a difference along Mount Hood from the left, upper left to the lower right. And we've used that to our advantage to, again, manage the scale of our buildings. Next. I don't know if I need to remind everybody about the existing motel complex and, just a dated building in the wrong spot is really an intrusion into the character of the historic district. And again, on the left-hand side here, you can see the extreme change as the site slopes down towards Egremont. Next. Just some project summary statistics here. We have a 75,000 square foot site. We're looking to put 150 square foot of building, which is 145 condominium units with an acceptable FAR based on the zoning and what were we requested here. We're providing 17% affordable units. You can see a little bit in the center there, we have one bedroom, two bedroom and three bedroom counts per floor. And then the affordable units at the bottom there, 24 total. We've improved the site's on-site parking from 93 to just over 200 and accounted for 175 total bike parking spots. I did mention the zoning code and the handful of variances that we were granted just to make it a little bit easier to develop this site. And these were all granted back in 2019. Not to get into the stats of it completely, but in the middle, we have, a breakdown of the square footages. Parking summary on the right-hand side, with bike included. Next. Here's a site plan showing the footprint of our building. Again, upper left-hand side is along Commonwealth, down Mount Hood to Egremont, with a residential neighbor on the left-hand side and a private alley, which we use between the Aberdeen and our building, completely on our site, as we use that for parking on the second floor. You can see here, you can start to see a little bit of how Copley Wolf has designed a little bit of the adjacent landscaped areas with a parklet as it comes down to the corner of Mount Hood and Egremont, which is a public park. And in the kind of center of our building is a raised courtyard that we can see a little bit better in some of the renderings in the next couple images. But and that's a public for the public area. I'm sorry, private area for the residents only. Along Egremont is the, kind of, again, back to the neighborhood feel with independent entrances to the ground floor units. And we can see that again a little bit better in detail later. Next. Just started with some of the elevations. Again, this is just a start of showing the scale of the top image, where we're six stories above grade, one story below on the upper, upper right-hand side. And as we go down Mount Hood, we drop down to the, again, the smaller scale of the Egremont Street buildings. Our access, again, through the alley to the elevation below, some garage doors and some functions along that side. But for the most part, that's a hidden facade. Next. Two more of the primary elevations. This the neighborhood, residential neighborhood. As it goes down, steps down the hill, we have some retaining walls to address for that change in elevation. And then along Egremont Street, we're trying to create that, nice facade, individual street front entrances and stooped stairs to the front doors. Next. I think this slide here really shows the scale of how we're relating to our neighbors. Along Egremont, again, staying within the 3.5 story building just across the street, and keeping to that scale around four stories. And then to the left-hand side, the six stories of our adjacent Aberdeen building. So just being sensitive to the neighborhood and the surrounding buildings. Next. So this starts a series of the renderings just showing the different points of interest around the building. This here is the front entrance, front door for most residents. And then again, beyond and down the hill to the left is the smaller scale. Here you can see a glassy entrance, glassy connector that we've created between the two. And that really is shown a little bit better in the next slide. But what we're trying to do in these renderings is also show the intricate brick detailing that we've been requested to provide, again, to just emphasize the historic brick buildings of New England and the surrounding area, just to get a nice good amount of detail within our facades. Next. And this here is the glassy entrance, again, with the courtyard, raised courtyard, private courtyard in that area. And that holds a good amount of, besides the pool, but just several types of gathering areas, grilling, general kind of a lawn area. There's a little exercise space that's connected to the fitness. That again is a private area, but you can see down below is the start of the public park as it, one more slide, as it slopes down towards the corner. You can see there kind of the transition between the two. And then over to the left as we, go up Egremont Street. And next slide. keeping the, you know, brick detailing, the scale, and the public entrances here along. Here are individual private entrances, sorry, and the stoops up from the street level. We maintained the number of entrances here with a surrounding detail for master bedroom patio doors. You can go to the next slide as well. And what we've done there is just emphasized these as well with a Juliet railing. No access to the street, but just a nice opening to the sidewalk so that it can be enjoyed from the inside. Next step. So as we requested and mentioned earlier, we're just giving a little bit more detailing on the entrances. This is the main entrance, showing a little bit of the contrasting brick surround to make that stand out. You can see here, we also have storefront entrances that go across that whole bottom band, which indicates each of our amenity spaces. We have a work from home. We have conferences that are conference rooms that are used by the residents, and a mail room area that open to the street. Next. A little bit more detail on the stooped entrances. The rendering does not depict the actual railing. That goes more into the details of the left-hand side with the vertical pickets and the circular shapes above. Give a familiar historic feeling to this neighborhood side of the building. Next. So this is here we have, a look at those three material palettes a little bit closer. Providing these was one of the outstanding items just because they weren't determined at that point. You can see we have a orange, we'll call it just to simplify, we have an orange, a red, and a white language from right to left. And all of them have some interaction with the gray, either a fiber cement horizontal siding or a fiber cement panel. They interact differently in each of those. And again, we could go back to some of those renderings if you want to check them out in more detail, but we have several things like the siding there, the black windows, the mortar, and the limestone, along with the stone base that really unify the three languages together. So they are different, but there is some unifying characteristics as well. So that's the end for the architecture before we jump into landscaping. Any questions that before we get off of the architecture?
Not for me.
Sorry, that was a lot, but.
Question, just to kind of maybe jog some memories here. Has any of the height changed on this building, or is it the same as it was previously approved?
Same as previously approved. Nick, there's a lot that's determined from the the difference in the site. Yep. So I would say we honed in on those, but for the most part, right on.
Great.
And that section. The section or the elevations has the heights and you can see if you don't mind going to this section, number 9, you can see there we have two layers of parking garage. One of them, the level 1 parking, is accessed from Egremont, and level 2 is accessed from the alley to the left there. So the site did determine a certain amount of that elevation, but then there going up pretty much maintained what was approved before.
Great. Commissioners, any questions in regards to the construction of the building before we move on to landscaping? No?
I have a quick question, but I think it's going to be followed up in landscaping because the platform that's used for the parking garage, does that allow for trees, bigger trees, to be in that courtyard?
It does, yes. We've taken structural accountability there, and first of all, we've located bigger trees within the courtyard. right on our structural grid so that, you know, those loading the capacities are taken care of. And then anywhere else where we have maybe some bigger spans or, you know, not necessarily in relationship to the structure, we've reduced the amount of, and John, sorry, Jim can talk to about this a little bit. You know, we've reduced the amount of soil within a potting element or a landscaped area to reduce the weight in those locations.
Great. So I think we can move on to the landscaping now if you want to.
Thank you for attending. And fairly straightforward on the streetscape plan. As you can see along Mount Hood, we have a line of Zelkova trees planted along the public walkway. And along Egmont Street, we have a line of a hornbeam with the permeable paving and the standard City of Boston acceptable tree pit size. Along Mount Hood, in that public space, that public accessible space, there's also a splattering of Katsura trees, which has a very nice fall color, very nice fragrant when the leaves actually change. And they're in a bed of a mixture of evergreen and deciduous plants, shrubs with some perennials, and that are shade tolerant, you know, ferns and hostas and that sort of thing. On the back side of the building, as a buffer, we do have some evergreen buffer that is made up of spruce and pine. So all of these trees are tested in the City of Boston. They're accepted by the City of Boston, so they all should do pretty well. And as Fred pointed out, the deck itself, the way it works is that for trees, you usually need about 3.5 feet of soil to for a tree to survive up there, which has been accommodated and coordinated with the structural as to where those trees are located. For the other plant beds, where we don't need as much soil, but we want to create that private space, it'll be made up with some lightweight fill within those planters and then enough soil to support a healthy vegetative palette. And this is something we're accustomed to. We've done lots of roof decks across the City of Boston.
And how many of the trees that you're planting will be shade trees when they're more mature? Is it all the street trees or?
All the street trees. The only evergreens we have are in the back serving as a buffer. Both Egmont and Mount Hood, those are shade trees. The ones along Mount Hood would be a larger canopied tree to shade the street, whereas the ones along Egmont, it's a more tightly compacted tree, as you probably know, which is not reflected in those renderings, that there's some overhead wires to deal with. So you can see the Katsura, which is that's the tree that's sort of splattered amongst the planting bed for the public accessible area. The American hornbeam is the tree that would go along Egremont Street, and Zelkova is the one that's going to be going along the Mount Hood. You can see the spruce down below with the pine, which would be the buffers trees, and then the Coosa dogwood, the paper bark maple, those are going up on the roof deck, and the birch tree up in the upper right-hand corner. That will be also splattered amongst the Katsura. So you'll have a mixture of Katsura, which is again nice fall color, nice fragrance, and the river birch, which has a nice bark, so it has a nice winter effect. We can get into the shrubs if you'd like. See, these are all tried and true tested plants that grow well in New England. It's a mixture of evergreen and deciduous trees and then perennials. And the perennials are really just to give you color throughout the summer season. And the grasses will give you texture in the fall as well. And you can see some ground covers. The liriope is a ground cover. The pachysandra is a ground cover. And then you have, you know, the ferns itself is a good fall and shade plant. It'll have a nice texture again, and in the fall it has a nice color to it. And the hostas, same thing, fall plant. Fall and shade plant.
Great. Anything else? Awesome.
No, that's it.
Good. Okay. Well, I'm sure the commissioners will be pleased to see that we're getting new trees, better shade trees, and not taking them away like we've had in the past three hearings. So they'll most likely be pleased about that. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to the commission for questions, comments, or concerns.
I have a question about the Katsura, the Zelkova, and Hornbeam. In the examples you gave, they appeared to be possibly 15 feet high, but no more. Is that the average height?
The trees are specified at a particular height. If you want the Katsura tree, I mean the Zelkova tree, which is be along Mount Hood, those will get to be about 40 feet. So it's truly a shade tree, and it'll provide shade along the street and some scale to the street and building too. The hornbeam, it's a tighter tree. It's being specified at 10 feet or so. It will grow taller, and it can be 25 to 30 feet tall. It was selected because it's a smaller variety. There is the issue with the overhead wires, and as you know, the utility company has their unique way of pruning trees, which we are hoping to avoid. But the intent is really just to get some canopy over this public sidewalk and over the street itself. The Katsura, which is that splattering of a tree that goes through the public area, you know, that'll get to be about 30, 35 feet tall. And keep in mind, when I throw these heights out here, those heights are when trees are truly happy in their most ideal setting. In urban settings, they're typically a little less than that, just because they have the stresses of a city. You know, it's colder in the wintertime and hotter in the summertime. So that has an effect on some of the trees. Versus the ones that are actually on the deck itself, those are going to be a very controlled environment. They're going to be irrigated. Cared for. It's more like essentially a potted plant. So they all should do well, though.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other thoughts or comments from the commission?
Nikita, I would make a couple of comments, but I would like to wait until either you or John, if you have any comments or questions, just because the other commission has already reviewed this project, and if you're looking at it with fresh eyes, so I'd like to wait till either you or John, both of you, if you have any comments to make.
I don't. I trust the first decision, and this all looks good to me. So I feel like you guys have the expertise with this one.
I'll just give a little background to the commission. And Nick, were you the staff person then, or were you not the staff person then?
I was not
about that. Nope. So I actually want to let you know that this was a really good process that we went through with the the Aberdeen Commission had a meeting with the Boston Civic Design Commission. Tell me if I'm saying the right name there.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And at least one, and maybe even two or three meetings, a couple meetings with that commission, so that we really looked at this from the outset and really had a lot of input. And the developer and architects were responsive in not only so much in making changes, but adding detail or responding to our comments. And three things in particular, I think. The doorways and the doorway surrounds, especially that main door, to give it that definition so you really feel like you have a main entrance that you can see, and as well as the ones with the stoops, to really have that, that definition was one of the things that they worked on and progressed on. And the detail on the brick, those panels with detail on the brick, you can see them on the one that's there now. Some brick, some relief and different, the way those patterns were just to not replicate the historic buildings here, because it's not exactly the same as that, but to give that idea of having a little more detail. And then the other thing was all the landscaping. And The only other, you know, the only other thing, I'm glad to, we had questions at the time about the color of the brick. So it looks like you have made that decision. I don't think that decision had been made. And it seems like we were concerned, myself and some of the other commissioners, I don't know if that the colors, well, there's a project in this neighborhood that like has new brick with like two buildings next to each other that has brick that kind of clashes. And this looks like you've done a good job of colors that work with each other but are distinct from each other. So that I think is a good thing. So
thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So just that's a little background for the rest of the commission. This did go through a pretty thorough review. And then I'm sure the Aberdeen Commission also reviewed it on our own at least once, and I can't remember more than once, but at least one time.
And John, did you have anything to add or any thoughts?
No, I mean, once again, like yourself, I wasn't involved in the first round of this, but I mean, you know, speaking just about landscape and design, I don't see too many problems. I'd just like to make sure that, you know, sometimes those courtyards inside can definitely handle something more than just bushes, like a substantial tree, you know, and I find, you know, but like you said, it's mostly a potted plant in a way. So I'm sure you can care for it and make sure it can get some growth, because it's nice to have that inside as well, you know. But otherwise, I don't have any issues.
Excellent. So, Nick, is it okay if I move over to public comment?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Excellent. Okay, I need to pull up the script. This is what happens when I have many documents. Okay. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. And public comment is now open.
Great. Let's see if we have any comments. There's quite a few folks in the room. It does not appear as though anyone is raising their hand. Let me just double check all of the cameras. No cameras. All right. I have no public comments, and there was none that were received by email. So we can go ahead and close the public comment portion of this application.
Excellent. So public comment is now closed. We'll move on to the voting portion for this application. Is there a motion from a commissioner?
Sorry, real quick, Nikita. So as you'll see in my staff comments, I did recommend approval as submitted. However, I would request that construction documents are submitted prior to the final approval being issued. So that would be my only proviso. So thanks.
Okay. And you said construction documents submitted prior to, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part.
To final approval. Yes, yeah, so you can approve with provisos that the construction documents are sent to staff for final approval. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great. Okay. So is there a motion from a commissioner? I'll move to make the motion that the application is approved with the proviso that the construction documents are submitted to staff for final approval. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Great. I'll now take the roll call. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. Sharon?
Aye.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
John?
Yay.
Nikita? Yay. And application, let's see. So application 22-1147 has been approved.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, folks, and I'll get you that approval later today or first thing tomorrow morning, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Thanks,
bye. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Great. So I think we're moving on to the administrative review approval.
Yes.
Okay. So I will read out the applications. We'll do a public comment. And and we'll see where we go from there. So for the administrative review, we have application 221151 for 9 Leamington Road, which is strip and re-roof property with in-kind materials, asphalt and shingle. And we also have the application number 221059 8 Cheswick Road, which is apartment 087, and it's to replace all the windows in unit number 8.
And real quick for context for that one, I know Helen's going to ask me because she's so on point all the time. So this is the same unit that are the same building that we approved, I think 2 months ago. So it's the exact same windows. And during staff updates, I'll show you a little thing about that, that I have updates for you, Helen. But same exact windows. So there's 6:1 true divided light, double hung windows that match the rest of the building.
Great. And is there any comment from the commissioners about any of the applications? If not, we'll open it up to public comment. One second. So members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing, and public comment is now open.
I do not see any public comments. So we can close that portion of this section of the agenda.
Great. So public comment is now closed, and we can move on to the approval for I'm all jumbled up here. We can move on to the approval piece. Is there a motion from a commissioner?
I'll make a motion that we accept it as presented.
John seconded. He beat me to it. Excellent. I'll now take the roll call. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
John?
Yay.
And Nikita, yay. The applications are now approved. And let's see.
Meeting minutes.
So, meeting minutes from 4/14/22. Is there any comments about the meeting minutes from April? If not, is there a motion from a commissioner? I'll make the motion to ratify the minutes for 4/14/22. For the public hearing minutes, I'll now take a roll call vote.
Sorry, you need a second.
Oh, I need a second. Almost.
I'll second it.
Okay, great. So I'll take the roll call. Sharon?
Yay.
Kristen? I'm sorry, yay. Kristen? Helen?
Yay.
John?
I'll just abstain. I wasn't here.
And Nikita? Yay. And the minutes have been approved.
So now I guess we'll move on to the annual vote for chair and vice chair. Nikita and Sharon have put their names forth for their current positions. Does anybody else want to submit their name?
Excuse me, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Benjamin. I'm from Leamington Road. Were you going to go over the roof?
Nope, it was approved as submitted, so you're all set.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. does anyone want to volunteer themselves other than the existing? Okay, so we do have to take a formal vote just to follow procedure. So I'm going to go ahead and email it to everybody. Does everyone have their email handy or can access it?
Let me get my iPhone.
All right. Let's see. Okay, just gonna get this. All right. All right, I'm gonna send it in just a second here.
Mm-hmm.
going to be a real tough vote here.
Okay,
here we go. Sorry, my computer's a little slow. Really slow. Aberdeen. All right, I just sent it. Should be there in a couple seconds to everybody. If you don't get it, just let me know.
Got it.
Cool. Take your time, make the right decision.
So Nick, it's saying I need permission.
Uh-oh, okay.
I'm doing the same thing, Nick.
All right, let me give you permission.
Yeah, let the new kids in.
I'll let the new kids in. How do I give you permission? Let's see. Oh, okay. I think I did it. Give that, try it again.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. That didn't sound good, Sharon.
Now it wants my Google password.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Sharon.
No, it's just my fingers are fat and I'm doing this on my phone because I don't want to lose this screen.
Yeah. All right, I got two responses already.
I think I just sent Mun, but let me know if you have it for me.
Three responses. All right, let's see. We're just waiting for two more responses. Is someone having trouble that I can help with?
It's always a scenario for me to log into Google because I'm getting there, but it's like.
I know how it feels.
It gets mixed up between, because I have a Gmail account, which is not what I use for this, you know, because Google's a Gmail thing, it just gets mixed up between my MSN one and my Gmail one. And now it's asking me if it's telling me my date of birth is missing and I could add my birthday.
Like, sorry, okay. I thought this would be super easy.
All right, let me see if I can get there.
Well, actually, I think it's aliens from outer space. They make it difficult for us because they don't want us to penetrate their force field.
I'm logged into it, but how will this show up, Nick?
So we should just have two questions.
Is it an email?
Oh, yeah, it was an email. Do you want me to send you a link? Helen, how to chat?
Okay. No, Google just sent a news. All right. It's like I'm getting things about a security alert and setting up my Apple iPod device for the latest.
I tell you what, I'm gonna send you a text in the chat here, and you can just give me your response that way. How about that?
Okay, so I go to the chat here.
So just tell me who you want for chair and vice chair.
So I just type.
Yeah, just type it.
Yeah, we know it's you, Helen.
According to our legislation, it's all confidential, so I cannot disclose who voted for who. So
I don't know. This
is very, very, very high security stuff.
The very high security. We take your privacy very seriously here at the Boston Landmarks Commission. All right, so it looks like we have our votes in, and it was a tough race, but it looks like Nikita will remain our chair and Sharon will remain our vice chair. So congratulations to both of you. And thanks very much for your patience there. Great.
Thank you everyone for your votes.
Yes.
Yeah. we're happy Nikita's that you're continuing, Nikita, yes, really.
And doing a fantastic job. And
yes, thank you.
And Sharon has done a very capable job filling in when you were not here.
Thank Great. You. Yes. I appreciate it.
So the only thing left this evening is our staff updates. And I think this is one that Helen will like because. So can you see my screen here? Is it showing the Aberdeen website?
Yeah.
So Helen, I'll let you know that we have this new section on our website for Aberdeen, and it basically talks about the apartment buildings or condominium buildings. Whenever you have an application to replace windows for specific properties, you'll just go down here and we'll have it pre-listed for you for those specific properties. Now, right now we only have a couple because all of our files are in boxes right now. So we don't have the ability to go through all of them, but as soon as we get into our new space, they will live here. But for the time being, these are the four that we started with. We do have an intern helping with us with this, but it'll all be public knowledge, and that'll help us come up with a kind of a uniform window policy for all of our apartment houses in the neighborhood. So that's something that I know Helen has had a concern with this whole time, but so that should help, and that will make things a lot more transparent and easier for folks to use. So it's a quick and simple fix there, but we'll be expanding on this this list as soon as our files
get. Fantastic. Yeah. So if one should happen to see their address listed there, and one is going to apply for additional windows in that building, it will already list what the window type has been accepted. You not need to give all those really detailed specifications about the window that would be required if you're.
This is up to you, but my thoughts were that we will we'll have everything that lives here, and then we'll refer back to it on the agenda to say that windows that were pre-approved on X date for application X.
I'm saying, like, if you are the applicant, say you lived at 1875 Commonwealth Avenue,
yep,
and you want to apply for windows for your building, and there's already windows, those windows have already been accepted. In your application, do you need to give all those real specific specification details?
Yes.
You still need to give them?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So that should be included with the application. Okay. Regardless, this is just so they can print off these documents and then include it with their application, but it does need to come with the application.
Okay.
Cool. Awesome. So that list will be getting larger, but I know that was a big ask. Helen will be working on that more. So, I hope that makes you feel a little bit better.
Fantastic.
Good. Okay.
It's the biggest issue for the multifamily buildings, and it's a hard thing to track if you don't have that kind of information
exactly.
To keep track of it.
Yeah. So that's that. All right. That's all I had for staff updates. So I guess the only thing left we'll need to do is a motion to adjourn.
Great. Is there a motion from a commissioner?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
And I'll second the motion. John's on point today. So I'll now take the roll call vote. Commissioners can yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
And Nikita? Yay. And the hearing is now adjourned.
Great. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Have a great night. Thank you, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.